Welcome to Learning English on the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. Today on the program, we hear stories from Christopher Jones Cruz, Jonathan Evans, and me. Later in the program, Alice Bryant and John Russell bring us everyday grammar. But first, here is Ann Ball with news from the White House.
President Donald Trump is withdrawing the United States from the 2015 Paris Climate Change Agreement. This makes the U.S. one of three countries to reject the international accord. Trump said the agreement hurts the U.S. economy and American workers. Trump condemned the accord for requiring the U.S. to pay other countries trillions of dollars. Now he says he is putting America first. Trump said he would look for a new deal that would protect the environment, companies, citizens, and the country. But he added, if we can, great. If we can't, that's fine. The agreement was made to fight global warming and pollution by reducing carbon emissions. Many scientists and world leaders say man-made greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide are slowly warming the planet and hurting the environment. Carbon dioxide comes from burning fossil fuels. Others question the science. They say that climate changes are natural, and they say that the Paris Accord will slow economic growth and cause higher energy costs. 195 countries supported the 2015 Paris Agreement. Nicaragua and Syria did not. President Barack Obama signed the agreement shortly before he left office. The former president criticized Trump's decision. In a statement, he said nations that stay in the Paris Agreement get benefits in jobs and industries created. Many American business leaders have also asked Trump, the businessman and now president, to stay in the agreement. They include heads of Apple, Google, Tesla, and Walmart. Even fossil fuel companies such as ExxonMobil, BP, and Shell say the United States should stay in the deal. Michael Brune heads the Sierra Club, a group that supports environmental protection. He said in a statement, Americans will look back at Donald Trump's decision to leave the Paris Agreement as one of the most ignorant and dangerous actions ever taken by any president. Scott Pruitt, the head of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, spoke after Trump. He praised Trump's decision and said American businesses have been a leader in reducing pollution. Freedom Works is a group supporting smaller government. In a statement, it said staying with the agreement would cost the U.S. economy more than $2 trillion and nearly 400,000 jobs. It called the agreement a misguided treaty. 22 senators from Trump's Republican Party signed a letter last week supporting withdrawing from the agreement. It said that remaining in it would subject the United States to significant litigation risk that could complicate Trump's effort to overturn Obama-era regulations known as the Clean Power Plan. U.S. allies around the world have expressed concern about what will happen if America pulls out of the agreement. In a speech in Berlin Wednesday, Chinese Premier Li Keqiang said that fighting climate change is a global consensus and an international responsibility. China in recent years has stayed true to its commitment, said Li. Critics also say that U.S. withdrawal from the agreement will leave a leadership hole that will be filled by China or Russia. I'm Ann Ball.
China recently launched a diplomatic and economic development campaign called One Belt, One Road. The name comes from the Silk Road, the ancient system of roads that linked China with Central Asia and other areas. Traders used these paths centuries ago to transport Chinese silk, spices, and other goods to the West. In exchange, China received gold, ivory, glass, and other products from as far away as Europe. Chinese President Xi Jinping says the One Belt, One Road program is aimed at strengthening international cooperation. But former American officials and some business leaders have expressed concern. They say China is not as interested in opening up to foreigners as it claims. China's plan is to build ports, railroad links, roads, and other infrastructure across Asia, Africa, and Europe. The Reuters news agency reports the project is depending heavily on two lenders, the China Development Bank and the Export-Import Bank of China. It says they have already provided $200 billion in loans to countries throughout Asia, the Middle East, and Africa. At a recent conference in Beijing, President Xi described the effort as a win-win situation for the countries and companies involved in the project. But some Americans are questioning China's true goals. Charlene Barshefsky served as U.S. Trade Representative when Bill Clinton was president.
China that has stopped the process of economic reform and opening, and that instead has put in place a spate of measures that are zero-sum, they're highly mercantilist, and discriminate against U.S. and foreign companies.
Because of the business climate in China, the country is no longer considered a top investment choice for a growing number of foreign companies. This was the finding of a study done by the American Chamber of Commerce in China. William Zaret is head of the trade group.
Some companies are looking back to North America where especially energy costs are much lower. Perhaps labor is not that great a factor in their manufacturing product. And rule of law and transparency are the name of the game.
Observers note that China no longer depends on foreign technology and investments as it once did. For that reason, they say, Chinese officials are less concerned about companies leaving the country. But some critics say China still may pay a price for shrinking investment because of the government's policies. Ted Moran studies economic issues for the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
China is already such a huge presence on the world economic stage, so I'm not predicting any kind of disaster. I just think that there will be much slower growth and much less robust growth over the next decade.
While China's president spoke about inclusiveness at a recent conference, some American companies remain concerned that it may be more talk than substance.
Seventy-three-year-old Ron Grunhagen's German ancestors moved to the United States in the middle of the 19th century. They settled in Iowa, just west of the state of Illinois. They did not travel far from their new home. Much of the world they knew was Muscatine County and nearby counties in Iowa and Illinois. Many of the crops they grew were sold to people who lived in the area. But that has changed. Now, some farming operations are controlled by rules written in Washington, D.C. In addition, many of the crops are sold to buyers overseas. "We are very dependent on our foreign markets," notes Ron Grunhagen. "If we didn't have them, we would be flooded with grain and soybeans, and maybe we wouldn't know what to do with it." President Donald Trump has promised to renegotiate trade agreements that he believes are bad deals for the United States, and he has ended U.S. involvement in the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. The trade deal was supposed to increase trade between the United States and 10 other countries. Many Iowa farmers and business leaders worry that a trade war will begin, affecting sales to countries that have become close trading partners. But Grunhagen believes Trump's criticisms are just part of his negotiating style. "It concerns me, but it is all part of the negotiations," he says. "Everything we do is negotiated. It is all negotiated." Muscatine County has special ties to China because Chinese President Xi Jinping lived with an Iowa family in 1985. At the time, he was a provincial official and interested in learning more about American agriculture. When Xi returned to the area in 2012, many people he had met years ago came to see him. Local business leaders formed a welcoming committee. The group later became the Muscatine China Initiative, which works to strengthen business ties and investment between the county and Chinese companies. Recently, the city of Muscatine honored Iowa Governor Terry Branstad, whom President Trump has named as U.S. Ambassador to China. A traditional Chinese orchestra performed at the event. Ron Grunhagen thinks it is good to have a Chinese leader who knows Iowa and rural America from firsthand experience. He certainly understands agriculture here. That's half the battle in negotiations, understanding the people on the other side of the table, he says. Grunhagen does not believe there will be any trade war, although Trump has criticized the trade policies of China and other countries. Since we have become dependent on each other, they on our food and we on the products they provide us, we are interdependent, and that is pretty important, perhaps, for a peaceful world, Grunhagen says. He believes President Trump will improve the image of the United States in the world. He also hopes the Trump administration, with the support of the U.S. Congress, will reduce the number of rules that affect businesses, industry, and farming. We are regulated to death, Grunhagen says. It consumes a lot of our time just to comply with their rules. Grunhagen says he supports the use of farming methods that protect the environment and keep soil safe. But he does not believe the federal government should be telling farmers in Iowa what to do. I think it is better for the individual farmer to decide what is best on his farm, how to control that soil, and how to make it better, rather than have a bureaucrat from Washington, D.C. indicate to us what is better, he says. Environmentalists say large agricultural companies, whose leaders do not live on farms, are often more concerned with profit than the land. Grunhagen's son and grandson help him operate the family farm. He says one day they will own the land, buildings, and equipment, currently worth about $1 million. It is a lot of work, he says, but it is a pleasure because we are able to feed a lot of people, and yes, we feed the world.
Brazil, South America's largest nation, has many natural and cultural treasures that are popular among foreign visitors. The country is home to the largest rainforest on Earth. It has sandy beaches and beautiful flat-topped mountains. The dance and music of samba was developed there. And the country has many towns built by the Portuguese during colonial times. But Brazil has a tourism problem. The Ministry of Tourism says only 6.6 million foreigners visited Brazil last year. That is about half the number that go to the small island state of Singapore. Vinicius Lumetz is the president of Brazil's tourism board, Embratur. He says the highest gap between potential in tourism in the world and what's been realized so far is in Brazil. The government is now proposing measures aimed at nearly doubling the number of foreign visitors to Brazil in the next 5 years. The government plan includes a law to permit 100% foreign ownership of airlines. The goal is to increase the number of flight routes and lower the cost of travel. The government also will permit citizens of the United States, Canada, Japan, and Australia to apply for visas online instead of at a consulate or diplomatic office. The government hopes less costly air travel and an easier visa process will deal with some criticisms about Brazil from tourists. But some tourism professionals say the government does not yet have a clear plan to persuade people to come to Brazil. They add that Brazil is not doing a good job reaching modern global travelers who research trips and make reservations online. Government officials hope to double their investment in tourism promotion efforts. Last year, the Tourism Board had a $16 million budget. The agency said that was much less than the amounts spent by other South American countries. Lumetz says the government's plan will help promote Brazil to other countries. But he adds that the nation is still struggling to overcome many years of isolation. He says Brazil remains one of the most closed economies among large developing nations. Those issues also have affected tourism. For example, high import taxes make the country costly for travelers to visit. The taxes also reduce the quality of goods and services available. Brazil has other problems too. It has one of the highest murder rates in the world, and the disease Zika, which is carried by mosquitoes and has been linked to birth defects, is also a risk. But Brazilian business owners say these issues must be put in context. Emmanuel Hingaji is a hotel owner. He says tourists are not likely to visit areas where most of the crime happens. He also points out that the number of Zika cases this year has fallen. The government recently said the Zika emergency had ended. And they say discussions about Brazil's problems ignore the one thing tourists like best about Brazil. Surveys show that tourists love the people, who are known for being carefree and welcoming. Pauline Frommer is another tourism professional. She says that anybody who goes to Brazil comes back loving it. I'm Jonathan Evans.
Imagine yourself sitting in a movie theater. You are watching a romantic comedy, a love story with a happy ending, such as the 1989 movie When Harry Met Sally. In the film, Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal play friends who become lovers. In one part, Harry tells Sally what he loves about her.
I love that you get cold when it's 71 degrees out. I love that it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich.
In this example, you hear Harry use the word take. Have you ever had problems understanding this strange verb? Today on Everyday Grammar, we will explore the verb take. We will hear how take's meaning changes depending on the noun or noun phrase that follows it in a sentence.
Take is an irregular verb. The past tense of take does not have the usual ed ending. Instead, the past tense is took. The literal meaning of take is to move or carry something from one place to the other. This meaning is rare in everyday speech. Note Susan Conrad and Douglas Biber. Both are experts on English grammar. Instead, native English speakers will often use the word take in a way that has an idiomatic meaning. In other words, the verb take and the words that follow it have a different meaning than the individual words suggest. One common structure is take plus a noun phrase. Today, we will examine three take plus noun phrase structures that have idiomatic meanings.
One common meaning of take is to go in a different direction. Take has this meaning when followed by noun phrases such as a right turn or a left turn. The word turn is not always added. Sometimes speakers only say take a right or take a left. Imagine you hear the following exchange.
Excuse me, but where is the train station?
The train station is about
four streets from here. Walk straight and then take a right. After you see the bank, take a left. You'll see the train station.
Thanks. So I take a right and then I take a left after the bank?
That's right.
Great. Have a nice day.
You too.
In this exchange, you heard four examples of the structure take plus a noun phrase. In this case, take means to go in a different direction, either the right or the left. This structure is very useful to know when asking and giving directions.
A second meaning of take is to make sure that an action is done correctly. Take has this meaning when followed by noun phrases such as care of, charge of, or responsibility for. You might hear this structure in the workplace. For example, a worker might tell a supervisor, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it." When someone says this, he or she means that they will carry out the action or complete the work. When a supervisor plans to be out of the office, he or she might say, "Jane will take charge of the project while I am away." This statement about a worker named Jane means that she is responsible for making sure that work on the project continues while the supervisor is gone.
A third common meaning of take is to spend time for a task. Take has this meaning when followed by nouns such as a minute or time. Sometimes these nouns come in phrases. In other words, adjectives, adverbs, and other words go along with the noun. Here are a few examples. In school, one student might tell another student, "The homework is easy. It only takes a few minutes." A teacher might tell a student, "This exam will be difficult. It will probably take a long time." In both examples, the verb take suggests spending time to complete a task, namely the homework and the test. This meaning is similar to the lines you heard at the beginning of this report.
I love that you get cold when it's 71 degrees out. I love that it takes you an hour and a half to order a sandwich.
In this case, Harry is talking about a set amount of time, an hour and a half. This is the amount of time Sally spends on ordering a sandwich.
Take has many other meanings. The next time you are watching television or reading the news, try to find examples of take plus a noun phrase. Ask yourself what the speakers mean when they use the structure. Do they use it to give one of the meanings we discussed today? Or do they use it to give a different meaning? It may take a long time, and it may require effort, but you will learn the different meanings of take. We will leave you with a few words from the American jazz song, Take Five. The performer is Al Jarreau.
Just have to take a little time out with me. Oh, just take five, just take five.
I'm Alice Bryant.
And I'm John Russell.
That's all the time we have today. For VOA Learning English, I'm Katie Weaver.